This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. About 20 minutes away from the Expressway. LA Live's coming up at 5:40. Right now it's time for the Cowboys Player Show. And Eric Kendricks joining us once again here on The Fan.
What's up?
Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Doing good.
Right on. Practice go well and everything?
Practice went well. I think we had rain 1 or 2 days ago, so this humidity, you know, still trying to get used to it.
Yeah, yeah, a couple of more weeks here before we're in the clear.
Yeah, someone just told me it wasn't humid today, though, so, you know, I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that was somebody from Houston where it's even worse.
It's exactly what it was.
There you go.
It's Eric Kendricks here. You know, there's been a lot of talk this week in the locker room, you know, about guys trying to be Superman or not just doing their job. What do you see as far as the reason that opposing running games have had so much success here in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, you know, I feel like obviously we were presented with different challenges these past 2 weeks. But like you said, you know, I feel like, you know, guys need to settle down, you know, do our job, understand how people are going to attack us now. And just have a physicality, have a mindset when it comes to the run.
From your experience, is there the ability to get significantly better at this while the season's already going on?
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, that's the beauty about, you know, this whole situation. Obviously, this is not the situation we want to be in, but at the same time, this is the reality of it. But you know, it's the first three games, and we're heading into our fourth, and you know, it's early, but you know, we definitely, you know, have some work to do for sure.
Hypothetically, just football speaking, how difficult would it be in a fantasy world where you're trying to play linebacker and your defensive tackles aren't very good? Like, just how difficult would that be, hypothetically?
I mean, we can go through hypotheticals all day, you know, I feel like. But, you know, I feel like that's not our situation. You know, we feel like we have a lot of good guys, a lot of, you know, obviously it's a new scheme and things like that. And we're going to see some new stuff opening up the season. But at the end of the day, you know, I feel like we have what we need. And it's about executing, everyone doing their job. And then when the play presents itself, you know, if I'm doing my job, it gives somebody else an opportunity to make the play on the running back or whoever it may be.
Eric, there was a lot of conversation from some of your teammates about attention to detail. I'm sure you guys had some conversations about that as well. Micah was talking about all 11 on the same page, no hero ball. Can you kind of let us inside on, when you watch on tape, what are some of the things that you're seeing that leads to people saying that need to be corrected?
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, just from, you know, I just, you know, I'll talk about myself. You know, there was a couple plays early on where it was like, you know, when we go over the film and we rule it out, you know, I'm supposed to be doing one thing, but, you know, as the motions go on and as the heat of the game goes on, you know, you're trying to make a play, you're trying to do something else that you're not supposed to be doing, and you make, you know, you take two or three steps the wrong way, thinking that, you know, you could help make a play, when in reality, you know, if I would have just stuck to my job, you know, it would have been cleaner overall. So, I mean, you know, that was just, you know, like I said, that was coming from me. So, and I've been in this defense. So it's just like, you know, calming down, you know, everybody, you know, we know the situation and everything like that. So, you know, everybody wants a certain outcome. And that's the, you know, when you have guys who are all wanting to win and all wanting to be, you know, there for their teammates, you know, you kind of have that sometimes, but everyone needs to know that, you know, it's actually by playing team football is when we're going to have the best success.
Eric, is it, you know, when you play on a Thursday night after a physical game against a physical team, you know, Sunday with the Ravens, is it harder for you mentally or is it harder for you physically to get back on that horse on Thursday?
I don't know. You know, I feel like if you're built for it like me, you know, it's just, yeah, you just get ready. You know, it is what it is. You know, I can sit here and make every excuse in the book, but that game is not going to change days. You know, yeah. My body is my responsibility. So I need to get my, you know, my work in and get it feeling right for that game day. And mentally, you know, last week is last week. And now we have an opportunity to play, you know, the Giants on Thursday night. Everybody's going to be watching. And, you know, it's a huge op.
You have a pretty stoic approach to football. Is that a common theme in your life?
I feel like there's just I try to be a similar person, you know, coming to work every day. And I feel like that's why I've had the success I've had. Mm-hmm. Is because When times are good, when times are bad, I rely on the same kind of process. You know, I obviously post game, I give myself that day or so to process how I'm feeling. You know, maybe things are good, maybe things are bad, but either way, I'm processing how I'm feeling. And then once we turn the page, it's like, okay, what do I need to do? I need to get my acupuncture. I need to get my body work. I need to, you know, hydrate. I need to eat right. I need to do all the things to study my playbook, study my opponent. And it's like, I have to do these things on the week to week. And I can't really, you know, I can't really fade off one of the weeks or the other because, you know, they're going to be the other team's going to be taking advantage of that. And I feel like oftentimes, you know, you hear about the rookie wall and things like that. And
yeah.
That's the thing I can kind of compare it to. And it's like, I remember when I was a rookie and I didn't think I was going through it. I didn't think I was going through it. And all of a sudden I had a little bit of a rib injury and I was out for a week. And then like kind of the whole rush of the season kind of hit me like, man, this is a long season. And it's like, no, you know, like that's why you have to rely on your process and you have to rely on your routine because that'll carry you through.
It's Eric Hendricks here with you on The Fan. Okay, what is the perfect weather to play a football game in? Because I think you might have it Sunday. Pretty good time of the year to be heading to New York. 71 degrees, partly cloudy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. I feel like I may be a little crazy in this sense, but I feel like anywhere between 30 to 70 degrees, clear skies, I'm okay with.
That's the Minnesota years talking right there.
Yeah, just because, like, sometimes when it's like 40 degrees, you know what I mean? 30 degrees. I'm a little skewed, like I said. Let's go 40 degrees, 40 to 70. That's more reasonable, but like,
yeah, above freezing.
You get that. you get that brisk air, you know, and you get that, you know. You can breathe a little bit better. You know, just the sweating, the hydration is a little bit different of a factor. You know, sometimes you got to hydrate so much, you're out in the field, and you got a belly full of liquid. You know, it doesn't feel the best, but you need to do it to hydrate.
Yeah, I mean, what is when it comes to the like, how cold can it be for you to be like, okay, I can justify wearing sleeves, or is it never cold enough for that?
I can't justify myself to do that personally. You know. It's no sleeves no matter what. However, I think that any game, like my scale is any game above 8 degrees, I'm okay with.
Wow.
Wow.
Are you more worried about your toes? See, I worked for the Packers, so 5 years of my life I stood watching games on the sidelines there. Were you more worried about your toes or your fingers when you're playing in above 8 degrees?
I think that it's just a matter of having you got to stay warm on the sideline, obviously. Sure. That's the key. But, like, if there's no wind and it's above 8,
yeah,
I feel like you could do a pretty good job of that. You know, obviously, when you're on the field, the key is to stay moving and stay, right. you know, kind of stay bouncing around on the sideline. But, like, you get the blanket, you get the – you know, the jacket, and you sit on the bench with the heat coming up to the feet. You can maintain, you know what I mean? And that's obviously my psycho skewed mindset being, you know, playing in negative 25.
I learned
you are psychotic.
Yeah, I learned you could take that cape, you could put it, or you can almost make a tent out of it. You know, don't put it around your shoulders, but kind of make a tent where the air blows up into it.
Oh yeah,
you know, so you're like, you're not like, if you sit on that jacket, it's not gonna get you warm. I mean, you gotta make a kind of a tent out of it, and then that way you can stay warm on those sidelines. Game.
Definitely,
you get the belly full of liquids going. I mean, don't you wish they have that blue tent there for like the injury tent? Don't you wish they had like a little port-a-john over there on the sidelines for you guys from time to time?
Why the hell don't they?
That's not an option, you know. You know, I think the thing is to get it done before you can't, you know, obviously there's emergency situations, but
tell me about those.
If you got to pee, you got to pee on yourself.
Yeah. Okay, so
Eric was trying to get you to say that.
Are you speaking from experience here?
You're asking if I peed on myself before? Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Okay.
What about on the field, though?
On the field, that's what I'm saying.
I'm just kidding.
So when you're just kind of like making a tackle or something, you know, I mean, if you're super, super hydrated, it's not like you're doing a full, you know, restroom on yourself, but.
Gotcha.
I'll be lying if I said no.
Would you ever weaponize that against the opposition?
Never, never. You know what? I try to treat people how I want to be treated out there. You know, for the most part. Everything's all things are fair and square. You know, right. But at the same time, I'm not trying to do that.
Can you describe some of those piles, man? I know people are doing weird stuff. They're eye gouging. They're doing weird stuff.
Yeah. You know, like, some, you know, when that ball's loose in the pile, you know, it's fair game. It's everyone's trying to get that ball. So, you know, it's I feel like it was a little bit crazier in college because there was less less money being taken away. But, you know, that college was absolutely psycho.
Man, okay, so we had a Spitgate go down with the Saints and Eagles game. Have you ever witnessed the spituation type of thing going down?
No, I think in high school that was a thing. You know, I haven't, you know, or someone tried to poke my eyes in high school, I remember. Ooh. But I got the visor now. It's a lot harder. Like I said, you know, we can get big fines now and other sorts of things. So it's a little bit less than that.
It's Eric Kendricks with us here on The Fan. You mentioned high school football. So did you grow up just – you were always that dude on your team? You playing both ways? I mean, what was that like? Just –
I wouldn't say I always grew up that dude. You know, one of the things that I did have an advantage was my brother. When my brother was, you know, going to be a senior, he was that dude. Mm-hmm. So that kind of instilled confidence in me. Like, I play basketball against my brother. I do this against my brother. I beat him, you know. So I was like, my brother's looked at it like this, but I feel like I'm better. So that installed confidence in me. But, I feel like I was a late bloomer always. My junior year, I started kind of getting, you know, a little bit of recognition. I started getting my first offers my senior year in high school. So, you know, I was a little bit late to the party. But like I said, I was always a late bloomer. Going into college, you know, I was probably one of the lowest recruits in the class we had at UCLA. I got put on the red shirt list automatically, you know, didn't even get a fair shot at, you know, playing as a true freshman. And I just worked my way up the totem pole.
Yeah, you did. It's Eric Kendricks here with you on The Fan. And it looks like you were a pretty good basketball player along the way, huh?
I was pretty solid. You know, I had I played obviously for my school. And my senior year, we made it to state playoffs. But I also played for an AAU team called Organized Chaos. And I mean, we had some goons on that squad for sure.
who did you ever come up against any players that turned out to be NBA guys or have anybody like that on your team?
We played against this guy, I think Malcolm Smith. No, what was his name? Josh Smith. Josh Smith was at Edison High School. And, I definitely played against a bunch of people. But I remember Josh Smith. It was my first game on varsity. And I went to pump fake. And, like, his like, size 17 shoe or whatever it was, like, was on – he stepped on my front foot. So I couldn't, like, really go anywhere because his foot was on top of my foot. So I put up this, like – little lazy shot, and he just swatted it to the next court over. You know, it was like a bunch of scrimmages next to each other, and he just swatted it to the next game.
That's awesome. Have you had any conversation, any talk in the locker room perhaps about the basketball players to football or football players to basketball, and which one would be easier to pull off?
Yeah, you know, I think we always talk about this, but skill-wise, I think basketball is a much more skilled sport. However, I think the better athletes play football, and also, you know, you have to be kind of crazy person to play football too, you know. And it's like, yeah, you know, you get a bunch of football players playing basketball, you could put together a pretty good team, but like, I don't know who, you know, like, I think that if it was the other way, you know, take a bunch of basketball players and put them on the football field, you know, obviously there will be a couple positions kind of missing. And, you know, besides receiver and, maybe D end or, you know, maybe tight end or quarterback. But I don't know. Maybe, you know, that's my biased opinion. I think that I had a friend who said that we turned a lot of basketball players, or we turned a lot of football players into basketball players.
We're just chopping it up with Eric Kendricks here on 105.3 The Fan, Cowboys linebacker. So it's obviously your first year in Dallas. You played for a long time in Minnesota. You were with the Chargers at 1-2. Last 2 weeks didn't exactly go your way. About to be 2-2 after you kicked the Giants' ass. But have you noticed a difference in just maybe the vibe around the team, the media? Is it a little more challenging? Anything at all when it comes to distractions with the Cowboys compared to other places?
You know, I feel like the pressure's there, obviously. I think that it's just, you know, the pressure is the pressure anywhere you're at. You know, I think that it's a little bit more heightened here because, you know, it is what it is. But at the same time, like, for me, you know, like I said, I just rely on, you know, what I know and what I've been doing. I've played on teams that, you know, have been really successful. I've played on teams that, you know, have struggled a bit, you know, like last year. And you got to just really lean in on the fundamentals of things, you know, control the controllables and just fight, you know. So, you know, I'm a fighter at heart, and that's what I'm going to do.
Well, that's why Cowboys fans love you already, Eric. Now, final question. Did you guys have a good laugh in the locker room or anything about the Jerry Jones video there with Jamie Foxx?
I haven't even seen it. Am I that unplugged where I just like...
You might be. Congrats, man. You're off socials, apparently.
No, I mean, I'm not off socials, but I just kind of like... I just like cars and like weird things when I'm off the field.
Go know, look it up.
Have you ever seen those videos where it's like how it's made type things? Where
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah,
those are my, that's neat. I don't know. I just like to see how things are built.
Well, this thing's pretty big. I'm surprised you didn't see it.
Thanks, Eric. Have
no
a
problem.
Great
Take
week.
It easy, guys.
We'll catch up with you next Thursday, normal time there. The Eric Kendrick Show here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Usually Thursdays at 5:20, but of course, you know, I gave the weather report. I aired that the game was Sunday. It's Thursday night right here on your home of the Cowboys. Pregame at 4, right, Brian?
Pregame at 4.
Right on.
Looking forward to that.
Indeed. Okay. I can't imagine Erica going in the locker room tomorrow saying, hey, you guys see this Jerry Jones video? Yeah. That's got to be worth a laugh or two.
For sure.
You'd probably just do a no comment on that, though, even if you had seen it.
I love him, though. He's great.
Yeah, it's pretty
he's amazing.
Big, huh? It's
yeah.
Pretty big.
That's a big win there. Yeah, nice one, Chief.
Sorry.
Time to hit the expressway. We go commercial free to the top, Billy Live, in 23 minutes, and we're back in the nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time to hit the expressway. Let's go commercial free to the top. LA Live's coming up here in 15 minutes on your home of the Cowboys. CD Lamb quote here from the Twitter account of Mike Leslie, WFAA, says, I mean, we got to take it upon ourselves, the coaches. They've done a job of preparing us for the situation. It's on us to execute. Obviously, the thing they can do is game plan for us, put us in position, line us up, tell us where to go, what gaps to fill, what routes to run to be physical, all these other things. But at the end of the day, when we get between those lines, it's on us. I like the ownership and accountability there from C.D. Lamb. I think the players just have to be better. He did meet with the media for the first time since the loss to Baltimore. He did address why he was so frustrated on the sideline. And he used the word professional as well, just being a professional about the whole situation, understanding it's a long game. But as for me and my performance, I expect a lot out of myself, more than anyone could put on me. And honestly, I failed myself. And obviously, I failed the team just as far as producing and being that game-breaker player for the team and obviously the guy that they can lean on. And yeah, I kind of let the game get to my head. But in the same sense, I know what I can do. I know what I bring to the table, and I know what I can do on that field. So with that being said, going forward, there shall be a difference. He said, is that what you're mostly frustrated with yourself, CD? Absolutely, myself. And then my ability to contribute to the offense, knowing what I can do. So that played a huge part. And once again, can't blame anybody. You got to start with the man in the mirror. And I'm a huge believer in that. I'm watching that game kind of ticked me off. But I did that. You know what I'm saying? I can't get mad at anybody else. So with that being said, I've learned. Okay? That's just part of a, you know, still a young player becoming a veteran. But also, you know, it's the frustrations of losing, and competitive sports will bring it out in people. Like, a parent can be the smoothest talker at work and be great, and then you put their kid on the sports field and they're on the sideline, they will lose their stuff. You know, a player can be, you know, all sorts of respectful and cordial and shake your hand, shirt tucked in. I show up to work 5 minutes early every day. I'm a clean liver. You know, I don't need to eat any bad food. Boom. A referee messes up a call that they're involved in, and the next thing you know, they will completely lose their stuff. It's, you know, it's because how obsessed most people are with their place in the pecking order, you know, and how insecure they are about that. And, you know, it gets down to some real strong human psychology. And when you fail, especially in front of others, there's this really devastating feeling. And it's crazy because it's just a game. We know objectively when we're away from the game or the competition, we shouldn't take it that seriously. But dang it, it triggers people more than anything. just being in a competitive situation.
Totally, totally. You see it all the time, even sometimes in a good way. You're like, oh, this guy is so mild-mannered, and then he gets out there and he's just an absolute savage beast. He's just you're watching a different person.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely understandable. I think the frustrating part is, for all of this, including specifically to CD and his emotions, you just saw it in the playoff game. You go on Micah's podcast, you talk about after that how you need to be better as a leader and controlling your emotions and that sort of thing. And then you have the whole off season, and then boom, we're immediately right here, and there's been no improvement with anything. Yeah. It goes for the entire team, but also in this isolated scenario as well. And for all the superstars where they're complaining they're deer in the headlights and you're 5 minutes into a game and all your best players look like they're defeated.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of what Luka goes through, you know, where even he, when he gets distance from it, he's like, oh yeah, you know, I've moved on from it. And then boom, the very next game, it's just right back there front and center. And it's really unbelievable how that dimension or that part of our personality can take us over so completely. And now we're doing things that are definitely not in the best interest of the team. And, you know, oftentimes applies to the best players. Okay, segment here is brought to you by Window Nation, and it is brought to you by the on-time experts. Around the Bases, brought to you by Uber Eats. Rangers baseball tonight, 8 o'clock pregame, 8:37 first pitch. It's going to be Eovaldi against Spence. Kamar Rocker on Thursday. By the way, that game's going to be on KRLD AM, and that is a 2 o'clock pregame, Ranger fans, if you want to get all your Kamar Rocker in. Okay, last week we had the stat that the run blocking was really good and the Cowboys should be getting like 5.3 yards per attempt. This week we go to the Twitter account of Brandon Laurie. Brandon is right. The Cowboys' offensive line, top five in lowest pressure rate allowed. This is a stat from your friends over there at the 33rd team, Brian.
There you go.
Now they're doing a really good job up there with you know, the Ravens and the Jets and the Chiefs as far as, you know, keeping that pocket somewhat clean for Dak. But I just think it comes down to lack of weapons, lack of running back, lack of good skilled receivers,
creativity.
Maybe yes. Your play caller.
Yes.
Play calling not very good.
Yeah, maybe your play caller. Very good. I if you want to get off to a really good start, a lot of these coaches have their first 15. I'd like to go back. Maybe it's a nice little project for me to go look at his first 15 every week.
Yeah.
See what we get out of that. You get everything you can to get your opening drive. There was a time when they would drive the ball pretty well, you know, and score, you know, taking the ball and stuff. But I don't see that. It bothers me because that's, you know, you need your team to get off to a good, especially this team. This team seems very fragile at times with the kind of starts it gets off to. When somebody just drives the ball on them, and they score, and it's like, oh, all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of struggling with that, and then you don't drive the ball and you don't get any points out of it. It's a struggle there. I mean, they had this. They need to look at their first 15 for sure.
214 says we need Barry Sanders, and no scheme help. I think when you're talent deficient, the scheme becomes ultra important, and it's put under a magnifying glass in college.
The passing game looked like it got better in the fourth quarter.
It sure did.
When you had receivers that were running on the move, you know, when they were on the move targets. And they're running crossers and things like that, and more posts instead of just
the ball started going down the field.
Yeah,
the ball was going, and then you know you got your blitz pickup stuff with your backs.
Uh-huh.
Those two backs held up very well in that. You got your tight end involved, and you created opportunities with your routes.
I've always kind of felt like, you know, at times Dak was too worried about turning it over.
I wonder if Mike's scared to death to start the game with this offensive line and open it up like it needs to be.
Yeah,
because
it's sideways, right? It's not a vertical type of offense whatsoever. And I mean, I don't know. Dak was definitely forcing into some tight wind. He didn't have a choice. I mean, felt like every throw.
When you
was
get
a tight
there and
throw.
He's got to let it go and trust his arm and say, hey, if you pick it off, that's fine, but we're done.
Yeah.
There was so much more separation with the routes in the end of the third into the fourth than there was at any point in time in that game.
And it wasn't prevent defense.
It wasn't at all.
Like, if you go back and look at what the Ravens were running, like you could say it was prevent
you could
defense.
Go, you
it
could
was
go,
not prevent defense.
I do this. I look at the metrics, and I trust our next-gen stats that the NFL gives to all the teams. They break down the coverages. They had 0% prevent for the Ravens in this game. 0%. Mm-hmm. Now, they had all the other coverages broken down. 1, 2, 6, had them all broken down. Prevent, Zero.
They were trying. Zero. They're just bad at finishing games.
They are bad at finishing games.
Not good. They and are. It's a shame that it took three quarters for you to finally be able to show something and execute against them. But I do think the pace helps with the timing and the rhythm. I think that's something they need to move on with.
Yeah.
We got a lot of more stuff to talk about, Chief.
Well, I just want to throw in the not trusting your offensive line first 15 plays, whatever.
I was just asking that.
Yeah, no, well, and what was the opponent? What did we say? Baltimore's got no pass rush.
They were struggling.
They got
with
no pass rush. Yeah. So it's really not an excuse.
No,
in that particular game, in that matchup.
I'm not using it as an excuse.
I'm just saying to McCarthy.
I saw them block, but there were some times where, they gave up. Zach Martin wasn't great. Tyler Smith wasn't great at times, but they picked that up in the fourth. They got better at it. But I wonder if that's Mike McCarthy's thought of, I got a rookie center and a rookie left tackle. And maybe he looks at now that game at the end the way it ended, and it's like, okay, I can trust these guys. Mm-hmm. I can trust these two guys to hold up, and I can maybe think about taking some shots. This is a big, good opportunity. This secondary, they'll give you some opportunities. If you can block the front, I always say that. You block the front. Yeah. Yeah, you have some opportunities if you can block the front.
The Dalvin Cook thing, Jerry said this morning, not the week to do it there with the abbreviated week. Maybe next time around, but that's just reading into it. Time now for an abbreviated edition of The Finest. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And the 5 o'clock football hour presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-Dubs is football, is where we are at right now in the midst of it. And it's great to have you in. Yeah, looking at the explosive play rate here, only four teams worse than the Cowboys offensively to start this season. Green Bay's actually number one in the explosive play rate offensively. So hopefully we can get that. I mean, one of the stats, like Dak's right now leading the NFL in passing yards. And if that doesn't just totally highlight the uselessness of that particular stat, the passing yards.
Yeah, I think they put up 210 in the fourth quarter.
My goodness.
Look, we did it.
Yeah, it is. That's where we're at right now. They're chasing at the very end and trying to cover their rear ends for the awfulness that they displayed there in the first three quarters of the game. Now, Andy Dalton has an opportunity to do something pretty special here because he's taking on the Bengals this week.
Ooh,
his former squad. Yeah, he could get a petty ball and he could actually earn it because now he's the one throwing it around for the Panthers, and he could keep them winless here to start the season, and there's something a little bit exciting about that. Now that the Bengals bleeped me last night, I got no love for them. I'm not pulling for them in any way now. They might as well lose the rest of the games.
You're dead to me.
Jaden Daniels last night, I mean, on the run, he kind of showed a little bit of everything last night.
Yeah, he's got a quick release too.
Sure does.
I mean, he's got it all.
Yeah. He
could use a little more size on him.
Definitely could use the size and, sometimes the awareness with taking shots, but hopefully he grows into some of that. But otherwise, throwing on the run, he was 5 for 5, 43 yards. I mean, big shots, accurate shots, and then high leverage late in the game, the third and longs, fourth downs, obvious passing situations, and he came up big for his squad. Very, very impressive. Pro Football Focus has it as the best grade for a quarterback all season long in a game. So it's the best quarterbacking of the year last night from the rookie on Monday Night Football on the road. It's looking good. Their defense sucks, though.
His body language, his facial expressions, it all says to me, I got this, guys. We're good.
You know?
And that's one of the important things from a quarterback.
Yeah, I think we call that moxie.
Absolutely.
My guy's got it.
He's got the moxie.
Yeah, their offense is, the advanced numbers are the Commanders' offense is as good as any offense, maybe the best so far in the league. Buffalo's right there as well, but defensively it doesn't get much worse than what the Commanders got running around out there. So that's going to be a huge problem for them moving forward. Perhaps Dan Quinn can start to get it together as maybe his guys get more and more familiar with what he wants to do there. But, Jaden Daniels was amazing. On the flip side, Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars last night looking patently terrible while Buffalo is proving everybody wrong as people were doubting them, including myself, coming into the season. This is going to be a down year. No, Josh Allen looks as good as ever, and Trevor Lawrence looks like he's regressed. This is going to be the time's ticking now on old Doug Peterson feeling for your guy over there, Brodus.
All my coach friends are sucking right now. You know what I'm saying? They're all not getting the jobs done.
Well, at least your guy Sean Payton's off a dub, you know, first
yeah,
of the season.
Yeah, I sent him a text. He was happy about it. He's like, hey, thanks.
Woo-hoo.
You know, yeah. I haven't sent I haven't been able to send a text to Doug for, you know, congratulations on a win. I mean, it's been a while now. I think they're like 1-8. I mean, they're on a bad run right now.
Bad run.
They are on a very bad run.
Guy can't get any respect, you know. He does a nice job, and the first sign of adversity, they're like, get out of here, Doug.
Yeah.
What's going on with your guy?
Very reminiscent of that Eagles tenure.
Yeah.
Right now, except
it's weird. All my guys are not doing a very good job.
This is like how it started and then how it's going. This is a month ago quote from Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He says, quote, winning now is the expectation. Make no mistake, this is the best team assembled by the Jacksonville Jaguars ever. Best players, best coaches, but most importantly, let's prove it by winning now. That is a month
ago.
When
was that quote?
Oh, that was last month. Yes.
Oh, I thought that was last night. No, I was very Jerry-like.
That's how it started.
I say he learned from the best.
This is how it's going for Jaguars owner Shad Khan after his team got absolutely embarrassed last night on Monday Night Football. And this is actually a quote from the reporter. Shad Khan says, someone is saying this of Shad Khan, angrier than I've ever seen him. He is usually a reserved, kind gentleman. Not tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the report on their owner last night. Pretty upset. I mean, sixth worst loss in franchise history. 37-point margin there.
Yeah.
So not good, especially when a month ago your owner was fired up. This is the best team in our franchise's history.
It's what you get for disrespecting Mark Brunell and Jimmy Smith like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or what was that David other kid's Gerard name? Like 5 years ago with Jalen Ramsey?
Blake Bortles?
Bortles. Even that squad. That defense was after you.
Defense was very good.
That was Barry Church defense, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It was. Time to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius has L.A. Live.
Yeah. Reading all the reactions to Eric Kendricks being on the show. People love this dude.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, people love this guy.
They're tuned in for it, and it is brought to you by Keurig and Dr. Pepper, Lucius. Not sure if you knew that.
Yeah.
We do now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get into a Toxic Tuesday.
All right, you squares. It's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. Dance
with some
of everything. Everybody get
high. Let me tell you this real quick. Studies have shown that couples who laugh and smile when they talk about how they met are way less likely to get divorced.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Think about it. Okay. Yeah. Elsewhere, did you know that when possums are playing possum, they ain't really playing? They actually pass out from sheer terror. Did you know only two people signed the Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July?
Uh-huh.
Most signed on August 2nd. The last signature wasn't added until 5 years later. Did you know an ostrich's eye is bigger than its brain?
Really? Uh-huh.
Did you know the Hawaiian alphabet has only 12 letters? Did you know the cruise liner Queen Elizabeth II gets only 6 inches to a gallon of gas? And did you know there are only 2 productive days in a week? Because after Monday and Tuesday, even the calendar says WTF. That's not enough. I ain't doing nothing the rest of the week. I'm here now, and I'm gone now.
We're losing recipes. RIP to the great Sam Putney right there.
Yeah,
I'm going to get into that a little bit more later here in L.A. Live, but RIP to the great Sam Putney, a real radio star.
Man.
This is L.A. Live for Tuesday, September 24th, 2024. It is a Toxic Tuesday here in L.A. Live. I hope you are enjoying your Tuesday evening, folks. Be easy on this DFW roads. We're not built to last. We're pretty delicate, in fact, unfortunately. We're pretty delicate. Paper can cut our skin. Yeah. So move about smartly, okay?
It's amazing we make it decades and decades.
Come on, bro. Come on, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to go to the doctor, get that full checkup you get when you get a certain age.
Yeah.
Just so I can go to sleep better at night, because every little cranky I'm like, oh, is this it? Yeah. Is this it, Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Welcome to your 40s.
I was going hard. Wait till your 40s. I was going hard on them squats the other day, bro. I was, woo. Everything got turned to jello. The air got thick. I was like, oh, wait, let me sit on down.
You were wondering what those gym warnings were about all these years. If you ever feel nauseous or dizzy, they start to apply.
Yeah, bro. I'm going to go get my check out. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on The Fan. And I encourage you to get your check up, too, by the way, everybody. We do it every day. 2:30 on The Fan. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here is comedian Ari Spears. He does an impersonation of Tony Soprano. He was on Sage Steele's show, in fact, and he just wowed her. She was floored.
What's your best impersonation? Your favorite.
Anything that's new. Feels like a new child. But I love Tony Soprano because, one, it's a white guy, Italian, and nobody expects you to do that. Ask me a question.
Tony, what did you do with the body?
Like, what's the matter what I did with the body? All the guys are going to bury it. Show pussy Christopher. They know their position. I'm from the King of New Jersey. I run a underbush. Uncle Junior Johnny Shack. Maybe you can bury it behind a bottle of pig. It doesn't matter. It goes wherever the say it goes.
Oh my God!
That is really good.
I'm watching your mouth when you do it. Is that the key?
Like I said, notes. Tony is ish. Talk about my sister Jadish, Uncle Junior Johnny Shack. So then you gotta have that metal at AJ. We go down to Arvio, Asumios, Arty, Kabukas. He's got the metal guy with the gravy.
What?
That's a different language you just spoke.
The
gravy. Food, talking about the food.
The gabagool.
Yeah, talking about the good food.
You got to chill out. All right, LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a toxic Tuesday. APB right here. D.C. police are looking for a man that was caught on camera performing a lewd act.
Uh-oh.
With a cucumber.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he did it with a cucumber. Wow. He just did this in front of a Washington, D.C. woman's home, according to the police. Oh. The suspect is shown on video slipping through a hole in Miss Catherine Baker's fence. Slipping through a hole.
Maybe it was a bet payoff.
then he pulled out the vegetable from a lunchbox. He had it already. Lunchbox.
Had it in the lunchbox?
He had it in the lunchbox, ready to go. It was just a cucumber in a lunchbox. I didn't see anything else in that damn box.
Was it like a brown paper sack, or was it was like a zipper lunchbox?
A lunchbox. Like you had to clink it open.
Like a blue collar one.
Yeah.
He's a hard hat guy.
Yeah. He also had an unlit cigarette in his mouth. Yeah. My man was grooving. Mm-hmm. The man stuck the veggie into the car's grill. Then he pulled his pants down there, Dawson. Yeah, he pulled his pants down.
Wait, the car's grill, that's so where he propped
he
it?
He mounted the cucumber there?
Yeah, okay. Yes, that's what he did.
And then he went reverse on it?
Yeah. The Washington paper is calling it cucumber sodomy.
Yeah.
They're looking for this
exactly
man.
What that is.
Wow.
The self-diddy situation.
Self-diddy. It's like self-snitching. Self-diddy. Once the man finished, he lit the cigarette, returned the vegetable to his lunchbox, and just walked on off. They're looking for him.
Oh, he put it back and put it back.
He put it back
took
in
the
there
cucumber
for
with him. Okay.
Safe use.
Went back to work. Went back to work at Subway.
I got plans for you later.
they even covered it on DC News. Let's go to DC News now.
A shocking sight in broad daylight.
A shocking sight.
A shocking sight in broad daylight.
I was so disgusted and freaked out.
It was dinner time, just after 5:30 Friday, when a man with an apparent lunchbox crept into Catherine Baker's driveway, lodged a cucumber in her SUV's grill, checked to see if the coast was clear, and began performing a lewd act. The police report then details what's also quite clear in the video. The suspect chose to keep going, this time in plain view, and even appearing to notice the camera, recording the whole thing, before putting the vegetable back in the lunchbox and walking away.
It was that eye contact that really unsettled me, because it then continues for longer than one would imagine.
The eye contact.
It got him going. It turned him on a little bit.
He was looking at the camera.
He's showing you. Really settled them.
It's too late for me at this point. I got to finish showing up, lady. God,
that's crazy.
Yeah, that's why they're looking for him.
Imagine telling somebody what you're in for.
Yeah.
Hey, man, what you in here for? Cucumbers, bro. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Loot act. You know.
By the way, what are you doing later?
Yeah, that's gonna be a bullseye.
Yeah,
that's some wild
cucumber
stuff.
In the lunchbox. Might as well be a bullseye.
Some wild stuff. LA Love 105.3 The Fan on a Toxic Tuesday. You guys familiar with Coach JB from Last Chance U?
Yeah.
This man is toxic. Yeah, yeah. Coach JB is pretty toxic. Now, he was a 2017 NJCAA Coach of the Year. Okay, it's a lot of NJCAA 4. Just a lot of stuff going on.
A lot going on.
He was a star of Netflix Last Chance U series. He had a historic JUCO winning streak in 2016. This man is amazing. Yeah. Other than that, he's super toxic, though. Coach Brown got in trouble for texting one of his players. The player just happened to be German. Coach Brown said, I'm going to be your new funny man with the mustache. I'm not even going to say the fool's name.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. But he said it, and he messed around and got fired.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
Yeah. He's toxic. he's hella toxic.
Pretty on brand for him.
Yeah. Like, if you follow him, he'll, like, do coaching breakdowns.
Yeah.
You know, he has a chalk. He has a big board up there and everything. But he's also holding a drink on one hand. So he's telling you all of these plays, what these players should have did, but he's got a drink right here in one hand, chalk in the other. That's Coach. Coach Brown, he's hella toxic on a Tuesday.
True football guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Mel Kiper. Remember Mel Kiper said something about to take the cover two away or something like that?
Yeah, he did. Two high safeties, yeah.
Yeah, he's not a fan of Mel Kiper's take. And so Coach JB jumped on his little old platform and just flim flam. I'm pretty sure if my dad heard this, he'll send Coach JB a text. Hey, you need to watch him. Your language.
So now you want the safety that 5 yards, Mel Kiper? You idiot, never been right on the draft yet? You said Ryan Leaf was the guy, you Now we want safety that 5 yards? So you can throw a post to Stallworth in 1967, you Q-Bay-wearing mother
Jeez.
Holy you guys on ESPN are man. Now we have to dictate to the quarterback and quarterback. Please, I know we're all so but let's blame cover two. Mean the times, you idiot.
Gosh.
Dan Orlovsky, you should have came on my show, mother. You me. You don't know either. Sitting there in them tight-ass skinny jean pants. You you mother don't know football. Get me on there, mother. You bet.
Wow.
All with a drink in his hand, Broadus, I promise you.
All over the cover, too, man.
Yeah. Very 1960, 1965 of him, man.
Yeah. Yeah, helps Mel Kiper.
Wow. Man, it's turned up right there, boy.
Orlovsky does have a weird wardrobe, though. I support that with his weird pants.
Are they kind of super tight?
He's
high. I imagine
he's unbecoming, as they say. That's unbecoming of you.
He's got a small suit. He's kind of a tall guy with a small suit.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. Yeah.
It's kind of a joke.
Doesn't fit
it's worse
very
than
well.
The fat guy in a little coat.
Yeah, doesn't fit very well on him, yeah.
Wow. All right, before I leave, before I get out of here, folks, I have to give my respects to a real radio legend. Let me switch the vibe up a little bit. I love the Commodores, but my man. All right. Yeah, I got to give my respects to a real radio legend. Our morning newsman here in DFW, Sam Putney. He has transitioned. Sam Putney was a big part of the Skip Murphy and Company morning show at K104. If you're like me, you were basically raised up on that morning show. I love school. Want you to stay in school. All the little bits, man. Sam was hilarious, very creative, extremely quick, smart guy, and pretty wise. Pretty wise. Love, Sam. Sending all the love out there to his family, the K104 family, the homie Mark P. All of y'all, man. Sad things. September is not playing when it comes to the greats. So here's what I wanted to do before we get out of here. I just want to vibe out with some of the music that Sam Putney made, because Sam Putney's CD went platinum here in the streets in Dallas, DFW. Everybody had it. We used to hand it out there at K104. We used to hand out that CD because he has so many great little hits he would make, like this one right here.
Oh, I want a big fat woman
with me taking on a bone.
Oh yeah, 8:30 in the morning you playing this.
I want a big fat woman with me shaking on a bone.
Yeah! Yeah.
I don't care if she looks like E.T.
Let's go.
As long as she is good to me.
Let's go.
I don't care if the little girl looks like E.T. As long as she is good to me. She could be 39 in the bust, 67 in the waist, 21 in the hips. But man, I really like her face.
Yeah, it's like 7:30 in the morning. Your mom's taking you to school, and they're playing this song. You at the donut shop hearing this. There's another one I used to play a lot, too. I used to love. Hey.
Stoop down, baby, let me jack you up.
Ooh, slammy.
Stoop down, baby, let me jack you up.
Hit it and split it.
Stoop down, baby, let me jack you up.
Ooh, slammy.
Stoop down, baby, let me jack you up.
All right, piece of the great.
Hit it.
Every night I go to bed, I have one of those dreams. I try to fantasize, but it's always you, it seems. Maybe big and fat, but I like it like that. I like those big hips. Come kiss me on my lips.
He's got a theme.
Yeah, he's got a theme. He's got a theme. I got one more before I get out of here.
I used to have a game. When I was broke, I had some shame. I tried to keep my house neat. But now it smells like that little girl's feet. She got a rabbit and a cat foot under my bed. She sprinkled that goober dust on my head. My house is toe up from the flow up. And my money's funny, my credit won't get it.
Well, slummy, slummy.
Yay!
I want to warmy, warmy.
Come on and sprinkle me, baby. I'm too cool to be embarrassed.
That's right. Sending all my love to the family, the K104 family. Mark P, all the Putneys out there, man. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be here tomorrow, Lord willing, the creek don't rise. That is my time. Holla.
Thank you very much, Lucius. LA Live every night, 540 here in the G-Bag Nation. Salute to everybody there on the text as well. Recognizing the passing of an absolute DFW radio legend. Okay, speaking of legendary segments, what do we have coming up next, gentlemen?
Let's do some TD Tuesday, shall we?
Let's do it.